Tintings are back with their second album on Columbia Records, Sounds from Nowheresville, which has been a long time coming. Tintings are a British duo that likes to change their sound as often as possible, even within their albums. Their first record, We Started Nothing, was a huge hit out of the gate, and they toured for 2 years on it. Recently, they took a break and began writing again while spending time in Berlin. Today, we'll hear performances live on stage at World Cafe Live. And I started our conversation in the studio by commenting that Sounds from Nowheresville, the new album, plays a bit like a mixtape with genre bouncing throughout the album.
We'd kind of, you know, been traveling for 2.5 years, touring, which was amazing. And then we got to Berlin, where we decided to make the second record, or at least attempt to start making it. And we needed to find a reason to make it, or a reason to feel inspired. And we kept, like, racking our brains and trying to write and stuff. And we'd do, like, good stuff, like, but we didn't feel like it was real or like we had anything particularly interesting to say. And then when we came up with the idea of kind of, you know, making every song sound different and drawing from, like, huge range of influences, we felt like that kind of... It was firstly selfishly interesting for us because suddenly we got excited about writing a new album again. And secondly, we thought it kind of reflected the way that people were listening to music at the moment and that whole popular culture of, because you have, you know, the internet, you're almost getting, like, overstimulated. Like, you're almost, like, greedy for, like, visual and hearing experiences in one genre, then the next, and then the next. And we thought it would make we're not saying it's the best way to listen to an album, but it's an interesting way for us to write an album.
So you went to Berlin to kind of get away from being where you were to begin with and kind of be in a new place. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, we're not anywhere that since the first record we've been on tour. So we're very nomadic about our lifestyles, but we did have to find a base to start writing. We didn't want to go back to Manchester where we were from, because we had such fond memories about that organic moment that happened in terms of me and Katie forming the band and throwing our parties. And music was just really a byproduct of doing, like, art and throwing, you know, really good nights where we were DJing. So we didn't want to go back there and try, you know, obviously we would have tried to recreate those very organic parties that we had. That would have been impossible. And equally, it would have ruined everything that was, you know, in our mindset about how the band spontaneously evolve. So we had to find a new approach, and one of the first gigs we played in Europe was in Berlin in a club called Club West Germany. So it was the first port of call for us. We got out there, and that's where everything started on the second record.
And there's a lot of dance music happening in Berlin right now, and did that kind of affect how those original tracks came out?
Yeah, I think it did. I think we found it really interesting, now we've finished the album, how much cities do influence, like, yeah, the way you feel, which therefore is the way you write songs. But the songs that we kept from Berlin are songs like One by One and Silence and stuff, which definitely have more of an electronic, dance-based kind of thing underneath them.
Well, let's go to the stage and hear a version of Silence from the Tintings, who are playing live.
Thank you.
Ting Ting's live on stage at World Cafe Live, and we're getting a chance to talk with Jules and Katie about making this new album. So what were the tracks that we will never hear that you erased from Berlin like? And when you've worked that long on something, do you have a little moment of cringe when you push the button and wipe out what you've created?
Well, yeah, you kind of have that moment of, you know, we spent 2 months working yeah. on something. But also, we, if we're completely honest, like, we deleted so many songs off our first album, but no one really knew about us or wrote about it, and we didn't. No one was interested. But we did pretty much the same process with the first album, where we'd write 5 songs, and then suddenly we could have spent 2 months on one song, and then we'd delete it. And I think it's like a real cathartic way for us to just keep working. And I think if we have lots of songs on the table, we don't have any focus in a way.
There's an age difference between you two, and when you talk about this album having a lot of different influences, does that play in at all, or are you pretty much into the same stuff?
Yeah, it does play. I mean, it's we wear our hearts on our sleeves in this band. There's no kind of makeup here. When we're in the studio writing or when we're on stage performing, it has to feel real, and it has to feel like we're honest, and that therefore what you're saying is absolutely there, apparent in terms of, you know, my musical background, Katie's musical background. I think it shows itself really clearly on one of the songs on the new album called Day to Day. We were having that very discussion about how we wanted this album to sound in terms of its genres and jumping, if you want, from genre to genre. And Katie was open about some of the bands that when she was at school that influenced her or made her want to be, you know, a singer. And that was bands like TLC and the Spice Girls. Now, that was something that, you know, go another 10 years back, I wasn't listening to, and nor was I listening to when they actually, you know, happened, because I'd moved into something else. So right. There was something quite fascinating for me listening to Katie playing those records and going, I remember this was maybe, I had a pencil case, you know. And it's a really nice way to work, because something I wouldn't be doing normally in my musical kind of, you know, background. And the same likewise, you know, when I'm listening to some of my bands that go back further, you know, Katie's going, oh my God, this artist is amazing. And that's just a great thing to have with your band member, where you can feel free to do that.
That's totally great to have with anybody, right? To hang out with and to hear his music that you're going to love. It. One of the things I love on this, and I don't know where it fits in what you guys were doing, is this piece called Guggenheim, which I think is really cool. What were the germs of that? Where did it come from?
Well, the word Guggenheim, we wanted to get it in a song for like about a year. We'd been to the Guggenheim in Bilbao, and we was in a taxi, and I was slightly drunk at the time, and I was going, I'm going to paint my face like the Guggenheim. And we looked at each other and said, yeah, we really have to get that into a song. And then we spent like a year, like every now and then experimenting, and we couldn't find a way for it to work. And then we ended up this mountain in Ibiza, and we'd been rehearsing. And I was having an argument on the telephone, like a real stinking row on the phone outside the studio. And Jules was playing the bass, waiting for me, and he was kind of recording. And he recorded me, like, going, and you keep doing this, and you keep... And I came in, he said, you have to listen to this. And we listened, and we'd been listening a lot to a song called I Can Never Go Home Again by the Shangri-Las, which is, like, really sinister and kind of beautiful and sad. And as soon as we heard me arguing over Jules playing the bass, we said, oh, we have to do something spoken word with, you know, the Guggenheim chorus that we always wanted. So, yeah, it's kind of took a year, that song, but we found it.
Well, you know, you did it, because I immediately thought of the Shangri-Las, which is kind of cool.
Yeah. We got obsessed with watching, like, YouTube footage of, like, American 1960s TV shows where you'd have, like, Nancy Sinatra or, like, you know, Shangri-Las and people like that. You'd see all like this old footage of them, and it was really interesting to us. So it's so funny now, out in modern, you know, modern world, where it's not even just an album, it's a YouTube video that you kind of influences your album.
This is Guggenheim.
Was cooler than the boys and all my crazy dreams. All the problems I thought I had, all but disappeared. And he would always, always think of me.
books and we were so in love. And there was this girl, she used to hang out. I never saw anything, anyone, no one so beautiful. And she would sit around and wait for the day to end. And she would offer herself as if she had nowhere else to go. And I didn't think nothing of it. And that's when my life went cold. And then she was sleeping in your bed. And she was all over you. And then she was sleeping in my bed.
On stage at World Cafe Live, the Ting Tings, who are back with a new album, Sounds from Nowheresville. And we've been talking about how you drop the needle, you drop the laser on any portion of this album, and you're going to hear something that's a little bit different. And that's what's kind of cool about it, definitely. And that is Guggenheim. Really nice piece of music. Can you talk a little bit about your state of mind when you finally finished touring that first album, when you finally got off of... you know, the merry-go-round on that one. Man, you must have been beat.
Yeah, I mean, like, the only thing that stopped us touring, really, like, what made us really put a halt to it was I got exhaustion and I got ill in, where was it?
Ohio.
Yeah, Ohio. I ended up having to go to hospital and they was like, you can't keep gigging. Like, I was so run down, my body was just fed up. So we stopped touring. And then we went to Berlin and... it was weird because we'd had such an amazing time, but we kind of felt a bit depressed and a bit lost. And probably, you know, our lives had changed for 2.5 years and yeah. We'd been, you know, playing shows every day, like all different countries, different cities. So you're getting this adrenaline rush in your body every day and then it suddenly stops. And it's like some kind of drug withdrawal. we sat in Berlin and we'd have really severe jet lag. And we had that for about a month where our sleep was just messed up. And so we'd wander around Berlin at like 2 a.m. when it's like minus 27 degrees going, why did we come here? You know, it's worse weather than Manchester where we're from. But then slowly, you know, it took like 2 or 3 months, but we slowly came back down to earth and started to feel normal again.
Did you want to get away from each other?
Maybe a little bit, but it's weird because we tour with like 8 people.
Yeah.
I think we just wanted to feel normal again. Like, you know, luckily, we've been adults before any success kicked in, so we do remember how to function.
People.
Yeah, and you sort your clothes out and your bills and you call your gran. And I can't imagine what it's like for people like Brittany that did it from such a young age, because you've got nothing, no experience to fall back onto. You just have this weird life for 2 years that's not real. And then at the end of the album cycle, you're kind of spat out at the end and you're like, whoa, what just happened? But, you know, we then started to slowly kind of come back to life again.
And to go back even further, when you guys started at the Mill, Islington Mill, and the parties that you guys had and the whole situation there, that is, it seems really unique and really wonderful. And I'm kind of glad you didn't go back and try to recapture that, because your friends would have, it's hard to take somebody out of a scene and then punch them back into it.
It would have been fake. Felt like we was going back there to just suck anything good about the Mill out of it and then leave. And that's what it wasn't like the first time. So, well, I mean, we go there all the time. Any time off, we always go and stay with our friends at Islington Mill and see what people are doing. But to kind of base ourselves there and have, you know, people coming down all the time for little shows there and interviews was more.
Yeah, I think one of the hardest decisions was that when we broke out from Manchester, we had a fantastic workspace there. There's a lot of light. We were doing a lot of art. Obviously, had our studio set up there so we could rehearse and play gigs. And it's quite a large space. If you look at the whole area, there's like a courtyard, and there's about 40 to 50 artists that have all got like little spaces where they do their work. And we had probably the biggest space there. And we realized after about a year being on the road that this space was being left dormant, because we'd only go back there once every 3 or 4 months for maybe 3 days. And we stored equipment there, and it just felt absolutely wrong that space wasn't getting used selfishly, because we were sort of occupying it just as a storage room. So it was a decision that we made to give that space up so it could be used, and I think it was the right one.
We're talking with Jules and Katie from the Ting Tings, and we're going to go back to the stage now. This is Hang It Up.
Thank you.
live version of Hang It Up, the Ting Tings, live on stage at World Cafe Live, in performance of music from Sounds from Nowheresville. Sounds from Everywheresville. Sounds like go all over the place. Tell you what, let's take a performance from the stage of one of your older things to play for people as we head out of here. How do you keep your energy up for the older things? Because I talked a little bit about how, you know, when you finished up touring, you must have been beat, but you had to play those songs every night.
Yeah.
Was it hard to stay connected to them?
It wasn't the songs, because we changed them up. Because
yeah,
kind of
I remember hearing that.
Yeah, we just kind of like slightly change it. And, you know, when you've got 10,000 people bouncing along and singing, that gets you through it.
I would think so.
But it was more just the tiredness. But because we've had time off now and we've... So weird, we actually listened to our first album a couple of months ago and we hadn't listened to it in a while. And I went through a phase of really not, I couldn't stand hearing it. And then I really enjoyed it, listening to it. I think you need to sometimes have that bit of time away.
Cool. Well, let's do Great DJ. Live from the stage of World Cafe Live, one you may know from the Ting Ting's first album, We Started Nothing. The great DJ. Thanks to Katie and Jules for talking with us. The new Ting Ting's album is called Sounds from Nowheresville.